Blog Talk Radio.
What's happening, folks? Live from the front seat of my car. I'm going to have a live report. I might even walk over to the ATM machine. I got to get out 20 bucks. So during this live feed, we're going to rock and roll. We're going to talk about what's going on at New Orleans with Red Elephant and my good friend Jamie Spears Aldezalba. You guys all know these folks. They're down there walking around in the protest. American Worker Revolution guys, I think they're standing by as well. Possibly be using the guy Ace's phone for this. Folks, please post this, share this, let everybody know we're live. James, if you can hear me, come on real fast and talk to me, brother.
Hey, right here, man. What's going on?
How's the board look? We have callers?
We have Francis Marion, the Swamp Fox, is on the line. And I'm waiting to hear from the Red Elephant folks.
All
so
right.
As soon as they call in, we're ready. I'm on the board, and it's your show, dude. Run it. Let's go. I want to hear what's going on down there.
Francis is our person. You can bring him in. Answer that line. Pick that line up for me.
All right. Here he is.
All right.
Francis, are you with us?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Welcome aboard.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Francis, what's happening? Welcome to the show. I'm host Mark Hoffman.
Good afternoon. Hello. Mr. Hoffman. Pleasure.
So it's kind of crazy down there in NOLA.
It actually was. To start off the day, the tension in the area is really high. This is our fifth stop on the tour dealing with cities with issues like this and dealing with issues with Antifa. We came over from the West Coast. We've been on this about a month now, this being our fifth stop. So the tension this morning compared to other cities, I would say I've been down to Berkeley twice now, including on the 27th and the 15th, and the tension this morning here was much greater than even in Berkeley.
Wow. Hold on, I got to tell some folks here. What do you expect tonight?
Well, this morning, I'll tell you, when we come into town, us and the Red Elephant and several other groups that have really started to try and push this movement, this freedom movement, and, it's a core principle that, of course, if given the opportunity to these folks to explain it, it's a very defensible position, and we were able to bridge a lot of gaps. But the activity today was pretty much non-existent until a few little things here and there until the main march came in, and then it heated up very, very quick. In fact, immediately.
And how's the crowd right now? I saw when you guys first arrived there at the monument earlier today, it was kind of small, but how's the crowd look now? Is it getting, I've been watching live feeds all day. It's getting big. Is it getting loud?
Sorry, sir. Yeah, the crowd actually, it was small this morning. And then it grew to about maybe 600 or so, 600-700. And then about half of the marchers disappeared, and the other half stayed for another 15 minutes, and then they all disappeared. The whole thing was maybe a couple hours. And so the feeling right now over there is it's very calm. There's no opposition. There's no yelling. There's no fighting. There's no, hateful things being slung back and forth and people being antagonistic. So that's a good thing. We did leave that location. We have had people at all three locations today, so we've been keeping an eye on everything.
Excellent. You guys did a great job out there. It's good to see Americans and patriots standing up for liberty and freedom. And, whether you agree with the monuments or the history of the monuments, this is not about the monuments any longer. This is more about peace, man, and unity and stopping all this bull crap so that we can all get along. The monument can go away, but the history will remain. And folks, we're not going to let the history go away. I'm a northerner, and I'm a damn Yankee, as they call it. I live in Florida now. Damn Yankee is a Yankee that never goes home. It's a Yankee that never goes home, but I have a southern spirit and a biker spirit and a patriot spirit, and I believe in America. I believe in America, the Constitution, the way it was written, and the history of the Confederacy. It's part of America. It's part of what makes this country great. It's part of what makes this country what it is. It's part of the culture and a way of life. The Confederate life was a way of life, an attitude and a mission of freedom. And folks don't understand the history of the Civil War. The history of the Civil War wasn't about slavery, you know, only a small part. The main part of the Civil War was states' rights and federal overreach, which we are seeing in a gross amount today in this country. Don't you agree, sir?
I would absolutely agree that the government overreach has gotten completely out of control. Some states are worse, some cities are worse. And, you know, unfortunately, that's what we're seeing here. And it's interesting that you said this is not about the monuments, because that's ultimately our position, here. And, you know, again, most of us come from the West Coast to come all the way out here. And it's unfortunate that that has to happen. But what we saw on Monday and also, you know, times leading up to it, where the people's vote have been taken away from them. And then when they say, no, I've had enough, and they go to speak out, you know, they have a right as Americans. They're born with the right to free speech. And by being born in America with that right, you're also born under the protection of the Constitution. And that Constitution is very, very clear about the protection of these rights. And it very clearly lays out the power in the government being federal, then state, and then the people. And right now, currently in Berkeley and Portland and Seattle and here in New Orleans and Boston and a bunch of other cities, the setup in the political movement has taken the vote away from the people. And the worst part is that when those people speak up and exercise their First Amendment right, the city's liberal policies and the police chief and the mayor having the policies that they do, allowing the violence, allowing the threats against people's free speech, that's where we draw the line. If the government is not protecting your free speech, American Freedom Keepers and American Warrior Revolution and many, many, many others are going to come there in force, and we are going to show the people, the city, the mayors, and the police that if you do not do your job, hold your oath to the Constitution and protect your citizens, it is the duty of we the people. And that's what we're here to represent, is we the people. We want to bring the power back to the people of New Orleans. The monuments have absolutely nothing to do with why we're here. The monuments is y'all's issue. It's y'all's fight. It's y'all's stance and free speech. We just want to be able to ensure that the Constitution is upheld and that y'all have the right to do that without the fear of violence.
Amen. Are you there with Jamie, sir?
No, sir, not now. I was earlier. We were with them earlier and working with other gentlemen, too, from the Red Elephants and so many other patriots. But I'm not with them now. We're on a little – I actually took a break. We're on a little recon around town gathering intel for tonight.
Well, when you see it, tell her Patriot Nation Radio says hello. My co-host, James, is with me. James, you still with us?
Yeah, Mark, right here.
How the lines look? Anybody on the line yet?
Nobody yet. Just me and you, and me and you and the Swamp Fox. Just the three of us so far. But I'll as soon as they show up, I'll be cutting in. Don't worry.
Amen. I
have a quick question, Mark.
All right, go ahead, James.
I'll say this and then I'll get off. Does anyone know exactly what the disposition of these monuments is going to be? Are they going to be destroyed? Are they going to be relocated to another area? What's going to happen to them?
I think they're going to storage. As far as I can tell, they're taking them down, either destroying them or they're putting them in storage somewhere. But I don't know. No one has said anything as far as I can tell on that. I haven't heard anything. How about you? Have you heard anything?
I have not. We've got, we've got intel from all different angles. We've got people on the political side and people in the local. And the best information that I've been able to get currently is that they are being taken down and they are being stored, that there is the plan long term to have them in a museum. But that is literally the extent of the concrete information that I've been able to actually verify.
Now, what are they going to call the museum? What could they call the museum? They want to take it down and take away the history. As soon as they put it in the museum, someone will be outside protesting the museum.
So we'll call it the American History Museum of Perpetually Racist White Slave Owner Militarists.
I'm sure that's probably darn close to what some people would like to name it. But, yeah, it's unfortunate that we even have to be here and dealing with these situations. And I hate to come into a city like this and see how beautiful it is and how hospitable the people are, and the culture is just incredible. And then to have to go stand across from other Americans and try to be there to defend one American from physically attacking another American simply because they disagree with what they've said or what they believe or what they think the other person believes, because most times they don't bother to ask. They don't bother to listen. And believe me, I've spent, again, this is our fifth stop, and I have people on my live feed, you know, what, 200, 300,000 views on our live feeds, and people make the comment about how, well, you know, I'll talk to 15 people and 14 of them won't hear a word I say, but one will. And people comment, well, it doesn't matter. Well, I disagree, because one turns into two, two into four, four into eight, eight into 16. Okay? This is how we have to make the movement. Standing across a fence line with police between you, screaming obscenities and hateful slurs and attacks across at each other, zero accomplishment. And that's not what free speech is about.
And do we expect anything to take place tonight when the sun goes down? Because we know how Antifa, BLM, these guys work in the cover of darkness with their faces covered and their, you know, M80s and bottles and things like that. Do you guys expect something like that? And what will happen then?
Well, yes, we absolutely expect things tonight to be the issue. And I say that because we know that the Antifa that's being bussed in is in town. We have intel that has seen them and seen where they're coming and going, but they did not show their face today at the march. It was very clear that people would not be allowed to have their faces covered. And like you said, they like to operate undercover because that provides them anonymity to be able to, you know, lash out from the sides and the back lines and hitting people over the head with, you know, bike locks and pepper spraying whoever comes by. So, yes, to answer your question directly, tonight, I would say, is going to be an issue. I don't know how big. I don't know what's exactly going to happen. All I know is we're going to be out here on the streets. There's going to be, 100, 150 of us all over the city and around the streets and try and keep everybody safe.
Hey, Mark.
Good evening. Yes, sir.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just wanted to let you know that Vince from Red Elephant is on the line, and I'm going to go ahead and bring him up now, okay?
All right, thank you.
All right, Vince, you're on the air.
Hello. Who's that? Is that Vince?
Hey, how you doing, Mark? Yes, this is Vince from Red Elephant. How you doing?
Thanks a lot. I've been watching your feed all day, doing some good stuff. What's the feeling you guys at Red Elephant are getting down there right now?
Yeah, it's pretty much from what we have on the ground right now, it's pretty much dispersed most of the people there. You know, it got a little hairy there for a bit. If you saw Rick Wright, who was screaming for us, he's an ex-Marine. He was towards the very last feed we had posted, when those marchers came up. It got a little hairy there for a minute, but it looks like the police actually stepped up for once after being on stand down orders for the last who knows how many months, during these political conflicts. It seems like our presence there, these patriots from California and Oregon and all these other states that went out there, it seems like our presence there kind of pushed the envelope and forced the police to actually do their job this time and not stand down. Otherwise, it would have gotten... People probably could have gotten really seriously injured, if not died. So it's not a birthday. Go ahead.
Do you believe that they got a little nervous hearing that the 3%ers, Oath Keepers, and others were coming down to keep the peace? Do you think this was the help?
No, I don't think that's why Antifa didn't really show up in force. I think the reason why Antifa didn't show up in force was because the police actually, did something right and banned the use of masks or any type of facial coverings. Because when Antifa can't cover their faces, they can't commit the forceful crimes and the criminal acts. They can't get away with it. But, you know, even with their masks on, we've seen that we have the autists or the weaponized autism on our side, poll at 4chan, who are able to – who actually develop their own facial recognition system even with the masks on. So it's I think that that's the main reason why Antifa didn't show up in force. It was mainly just a lot of different protesters. We actually interviewed an Antifa member who had his mask off. Obviously, he had a bandana around his neck. He admitted that he was an Antifa member. And, you know, he had a lot to say about, oh, the violence of these white supremacists and the violence this and the violence that. But when Rick asked him, do you denounce the violence that the that Antifa has caused, he had a really hard time doing it. And he pretty much refused to denounce any violence, you know, on the left. And these are the types of walking, talking contradictions that we're dealing with on the left.
And that's constant all the time. Contradiction and the hypocrisy on the left is unbelievable.
Right.
And are all three monuments going to be covered by you guys tonight as well? So we can all watch the live feeds. And you know, I was watching Antifa, the Antifa feeds, and I was reporting on one of the pages. And I think if folks do that, they can keep an eye on the Antifa pages and report back to the Red Elephant and American Warrior Revolution and all these other pages. That would be a good thing that the Patriots could do to pull together, is monitor the Antifa pages and the Antifa live feeds and report back to the Patriots.
Right.
You know they're doing that.
Right. The Oath Keepers, I think, have been monitoring those pages. But we actually had undercover people on the ground. I guess you could call them spotters or spies, if you will. And we were, you know, those are the ones that were taking pictures and sending them to us of the marchers coming over, what street they were on, things like that. And we were tweeting them out to our, our partners and putting them on the event pages and making sure everyone knew. So,
James,
hello, you there?
Yeah, Mark, I'm here. What's going on?
I can hear you guys.
Okay, good. Mark, are you still around? Okay, looks like Mark's having a little trouble getting reestablished. I know he'll be back in a minute. Gentlemen, let me ask you something in the meantime, and we'll stretch this out a little bit.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of how to phrase the question.
Well, yeah, I'd like to offer you one thing, Francis, man.
Sure.
And hey, Vincent, how are you doing, man? It's I'm glad to see that your boys are out here and staying safe. So I'm glad we get to work together again.
Oh, how you doing? Did you just get on the call or what?
No, sir. I've been on the call.
Oh, really?
You just
Francis has been with us the whole time.
I don't even know what call I'm on or anything like that. I'm just on a call.
Let me ask you this. What's going to happen if, and this is just a theoretical, you guys are there on the ground, you have an eyeball on the situation that obviously Mark and myself don't have. And I'm not saying that it will, and God forbid that it should. But what's going to happen if the Antifa people, and they're prone to violence, we know this is an established fact, and even though they might not have had a great presence in New Orleans in the daylight, what happens if there's trouble this evening? What is the response from the militias going to be?
I don't know how many people are staying out there. Francis, are you staying out there all night or what?
Oh yes, yep. We are.
Okay.
We're planned for it. And you know, the question is, you know, and you asked, and this is a key difference. You asked what do we expect the response, or what will the response be by the militias? I don't know what the response will be by the militias. You got to remember that a militia, you know, these militias are bound by different bylaws than the just a standard citizen. American Freedom Keepers are not a militia. We are simply citizens. So our boundaries are as wide as any other American citizen. So as far as our response tonight, we will be here. We will be on the streets. We will have eyes on location on all three monuments that are in question right now, that are under threats. And See, this is the important thing. When we got here into town, we did the same thing that we have done at every town. We made contact with the police department. We were open. We were honest. We let they, first of all, they already knew who we were. They already had our pictures. They knew we were coming. Antifa follows us. Antifa follows the Red Elephants, the law enforcement. They know when we're all coming. So that's a good thing because we're following the law, which is why we don't cover our Facebook pages and we don't cover our faces. So we met with these officers, and what it does is the pressure that it puts on them, knowing that patriots are coming from across the nation, and we let them know we are here because a week ago, y'all did not do your job. Y'all did not uphold your oath, and we are here, and we told them flat out, we are here to defend that Constitution and defend that free speech completely until the end if that's what it takes. So when they're faced with hundreds of patriots coming in from across the country saying, we're tired of you failing your citizens, and we are going to come and do it for you, all of a sudden they go, oh, okay, we're going to take care of it. And that's what I believe you saw today. Not me, not American Freedom Keepers, not American Warrior Revolution, not the Red Elephants, not the Oath Keepers, not the Three Percenters. It's the fact that all of us connected and we all came here. It's a show of force, not a physical force, but a show of force and support of free speech in the Constitution. It forced this city to step up and finally do their job. And ultimately, how we win this battle and how we return these cities to the control of the people and true freedom is by doing these events and coming and showing support and showing the city that, hey, if you get enough people out there that are saying, I'm done, your city will respond. And that's what we need the people to do so that the rest of us can go back to our cities and our normal lives. And the people here in New Orleans and the people in Berkeley, they don't have to have a bunch of people coming in from out of town. We don't want that, and they don't want that. So ultimately, yes, pressure on the city, pressure on the politics, pressure on the police. And if that takes 200 of us to show up in Kevlar vests and helmets and goggles ready to go till the very end, then that's our duty as Americans, we feel, to uphold that.
Right. Yeah, I don't know if you would call any of us really militias, because that kind of sounds like, sure of a violent force, but we definitely are formed well-regulated groups. We had some Red Elephants members come up from Tennessee, and then you saw the people who were contributing live streaming for our page, Rick Wright and those guys over there. We see what's happening in this country, and you haven't seen any things like this since, all these groups forming since 1776. So I guess you call us a militias for defense, because we're going to defend the Trump supporters. We got sick and tired of seeing Trump supporters get beat down by these violent leftists that we stood up and we said, hey, we got to start protecting our people. The silent majority can't be silent any longer. Otherwise stuff is going, it's going to go downhill real fast. And, I don't know if you were watching the stream the whole time, but you saw, I don't know if you saw the admitted Antifa member that I was talking about. He admitted he was with Antifa, and it's funny. His mask was off, and he did not denounce the violence on the left. As a matter of fact, he tried to justify the violence that his group caused in places like Berkeley, or he tried to separate himself from these things. And this is the type of thing that you're going to keep seeing until more of us start showing up. And it's funny how they can coordinate and get hundreds and hundreds, 300, 400 people together. It's just kind of fishy to me how they could do that so easily. And we, being the actual majority, especially in the South, can't get 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 people together. So it's a little that's a little fishy to me for sure. I mean, you can go into the whole conspiracy theories of paid George Soros and all this stuff, but it actually has factual statistics behind it and factual, mainstream articles proving these things. So,
no, you're absolutely right, Vincent. And I know you and I have talked just a little bit about some of this stuff, and when we were preparing for Berkeley and also for New Orleans. And you're absolutely right. It's become an issue where the people have got to stand for themselves. People have got to come out and stand up. And I think, just like you said, in Berkeley, we still have issues in Berkeley. The 27th still wasn't a complete success, I think, on the part of the city and the police in doing properly what they should do. But we made big progress, and you're absolutely right. We've got to keep connecting, and I like what you said about militias and defense. And while militia sounds militaristic and aggressive, and that's not our stance, that's basically the
right.
fact of 1776 and these organizations is a scary, scary thought at this point. But I think that you and I agree, and I think most of us on this, you know, on the pure drive of freedom. Yes, there are people that are extreme, but to both sides, we have to be honest and accept that. But those of us that are here in the middle just pushing the pure freedom movement for let the people speak. And if the people in New Orleans have a voice and they have a vote and they vote to take down the monuments, then that's fine. That has nothing to do with us. That situation has nothing to do with any of us here. We just want to see that the city and the people have the right to free speech so that they have the ability and the opportunity to be able to solve these problems on their own.
Right.
Without riots and people that shot or killed or attacked, M80 bottles. It's pretty crazy the stuff that's happening in our nation today, and the fact that we even have to mobilize groups to protect people in their own cities, that they won't protect their own cities, that they won't get up off their duffs and get out and protect their own monuments. Now, I'm sure there are plenty there from New Orleans that are protecting their monuments. Did you guys get to speak to a lot of people from the area that are you know, protecting the monuments along with you guys from all over the country? And, you know, Red Elephant and everybody else?
Yeah, I think that they, Rick Wright, he actually interviewed at least 25 people. And a lot of people were just saying, hey, it's a piece of our history. Listen, you, just because you don't agree with some sort of history doesn't mean you can go and tear it down. It, you know, you can't, it's like book burning by the Third Reich. It's the equivalent of Joseph Goebbels who ran the Ministry of Propaganda for the Third Reich, ordering book burnings to kind of, you know, it's the exact same thing. And just because you don't agree with a piece of history, a lot of these monuments don't have anything to do with the Civil War. For instance, Andrew Jackson, he was the War of 1812. He had nothing to do with the Civil War, and they want to tear that statue down. You know, Robert E. Lee didn't even own slaves. Only 4% of the South owned slaves during the time of the Civil War. The Civil War wasn't even about slavery. It was about states' rights and the 40% tax that the North wanted to apply in the South and all sorts of different trade issues. Slavery wasn't even brought until the end, you know, and these things, they don't want to hear the facts. You know, because if there's George Washington monuments all over the place, you're not going to go and tear down a George Washington monument. That's a piece of our history. You know, all these different things, you know, you don't see, I mean, it's going to get to a point if we let this progress the way it's, this is why we're standing up. If we let this progress, what it could be is 9-year-olds 20 years from now not even knowing who Hitler was. And yes, he was a bad guy. He was a horrible psychopath. But we have to know our history, otherwise we're doomed to repeat it.
Yep.
That's absolutely right. And I agree with you, Vincent. And, you know, the monument, while again, our position here is not on the monument, but with respect to the monument, that's absolutely correct. As soon as you remove that piece of history, it doesn't take but one or two generations. And the facts behind that history just disappear, and 100% it is bound to repeat itself. So it's kind of counterintelligent, counterintuitive actually, for these folks that feel so triggered and so hurt. And, you know, I interviewed one lady today that she was on the side of tearing them down, and she spoke about how that statue, the monument of Lee just being there, was affecting her life every day, and it was, she was living in a system that she believed that Lee's monument represented. And, you know, it just baffles me. It baffles me every time I interview these people how they cannot comprehend that if you tear this down, you tear this down, this, people will repeat this. Don't you want a remembrance of the things that you're talking about that you don't agree with? Whether you and I, you know, agree or believe that, you know, the racism point behind the Civil War, that really doesn't have anything to do with the conversation that I had with this woman. It's just simply that if you, ma'am, believe that this represents the slavery and the times of life, then let it stand. Let it be a reminder to people. Don't let them forget.
Right. Right. I saw that interview, the black lady, right, that said that she lived here, she had a business or something. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Very intelligent woman. Very nice. I gave her more time on the camera than I generally do because she's just kind of repeating herself and talking in circles. But
right.
I felt like it was important to give her that voice and let her see that, you know what, we'll let you talk. We'll hear you. And I did. I engaged with her. And, you know, one person at a time might not make a big difference, but like you said, you interviewed probably 25 people today. We probably did the same. And we reached
right.
at least 50 people. And then our views, all our viewers saw that. That's the secret. We got to spread the message, get the truth out there, and stop all this propaganda about how everyone on the right is racist and everyone on the left is a snowflake, because neither one is true.
Right. That's right. You're generalizing. It's almost the same thing as how the leftists accuse us of generalizing all Muslims as terrorists. I mean, if you're going to call us all racist, then you might as well call all Muslims terrorists, because that's the same sort of logic, you know, by that logic, you know. So it's just, like you said, the hypocrisy. But yeah, I mean, the whole thing about, I heard that interview. It was kind of interesting. She was trying to say that she had a business and someone called her the N-word and told her that she had to close down her business. I don't particularly believe that story, because
mm-hmm.
if you look into, you know, things like affirmative action, things like that, you know, you can honestly say that a lot of these the one yesterday, spray painting on the walls, Nazi, that turned out to be a hoax. A lot of these things are turning out to be hoaxes. But the thing is that what a lot of these Black Americans don't understand is the oppression, the remnants from the oppression from way back when comes from the Democratic side, and they're still on the wrong side. You know, for instance, LBJ, Lyndon B. Johnson, I'll have these N-words voting Democrat for the next 200 years. Another quote, we'll give them just enough to survive, but not enough to make a difference. They went from 22% Black babies being born out of wedlock back then in the 60s to 72% now. In New York in 2012, more Black babies were aborted than born. You know, so the whole side that they're on is completely incorrect. We are the side, the conservative side, are the ones who want to restore, you know, the Black businesses and Black communities. She was saying only 3% or something of the most of the community is Black there in that city, but only 3% own businesses. You know, that comes from LBJ's policies. You walk into a Black neighborhood anywhere in America, the Blacks don't own the businesses. But you walk into an Asian neighborhood, you walk into a Mexican neighborhood, you walk into a Muslim neighborhood, people who've been here less time than the Blacks, they own all the businesses. Chinese restaurants, Asian restaurants, Mexican restaurants, they own all the businesses, and they've been here less time. It's because of the LBJ's policies right. that they're going through that, and that's what we have to spread the
and
truth.
James,
we have to tell them these facts.
James, you got this, man. My phone's dying. Turn it off.
Thanks, Mark. Guys, and here's another thing I would like to point out, too. There is also a specific selectivity to this.
Maybe.
And the point I'm trying to make with that is how many Japanese Americans, how many German and Italian Americans have raised up and misbehaved and acted out over the internment camps that they themselves are probably still survivors of, or that their parents, their grandparents and uncles were, you know, during the war, the Democrats put all those people
Another
in
Democrat.
Internment camps.
Right.
But do we have anybody, have they even constructed monuments to recognize these people's suffering and their sacrifice to their country? Because these were good Americans that were placed in these. They just happened to be Japanese, or they just happened to be German or Italian.
Right. Well, I mean, if you want to look at the statistics, actually, they actually captured thousands and thousands of coverts within those internment camps. So there's a lot of arguments for the good and for the bad of it. But
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all. And I'm not arguing as to its effectiveness. I'm just saying that there is a selectivity here.
Right.
And that you know, unrest and it. It's just it's been fomented in the Black community over the last 8 years. It's been stoked, it's been fed, and it's been enabled, and it's been allowed. And there's going to reach a point of critical mass when that's the immovable object is going to come in contact with an irresistible force, and something's going to happen. It's going to give, and I'm afraid it may give in a big way.
Right. Yeah, I mean, hope not. I mean, that's why people like Francis and us and all these and the Oath Keepers and the 3%ers are just starting to rise up now, because we don't want it to get to that point. And we'll do what we have to do to prevent it from getting to that point. So, that's what I have to say about that.
That's exactly the point, Vincent. And I think that that's a little misconception that happens a lot. You know, people see us, they come into these towns, especially our groups that come in, you know, with body armor and helmets and goggles, and they feel that as aggression. And we're always asked, you know, why are you dressed like this? And the ones that listen can actually hear the things that we've experienced, because the first event that I went to in Berkeley, we were not prepared like that. We didn't go in there, you know, in full body armor and, you know, prepared for a civil war in the streets. And what we've learned is that in these cities, you know, since the 4th in Berkeley, essentially, of April, that we've learned in these cities that these liberal policies are set up to absolutely not protect the people. And so the reason we come to these cities dressed like this is that ultimately, and I'll leave you with this because we just got an intel change. We've got to change location, so I apologize. I've got to go because I'm handling some of the intel too, but I'll leave you with this. And that's that the ultimate goal here is to show citizens that we're not afraid. We're not afraid to drive all the way across the country and come and stand right next to you. And, you know, honestly, I was a little disappointed today at the number of locals that were out. I have to be honest with you. It was quite a bit lower than I expected. And I'm hoping that what happened today, I understand the fear. We do. And it was sad to me to see that not more locals were out there, because that tells me there's just so many thousands that are still afraid. So, you know, we're going to be here a little bit longer, and we're going to be out tonight. We're going to be on the streets and do our absolute best to keep the people that are exercising their free speech, keep them safe, and show the city and the police chief and the mayor that, again, like I said, if you do not do your job to protect your citizens, then we will, because the answer in the end is that we empower the police to protect us and do that, and they need that. The people need that to be able to have their voice. So, sorry. That's all I have to say about that is, please, to the people of New Orleans and any city that's starting to experience this, keep a lookout, talk to your neighbors, talk to your friends, start forming connections now, start finding, you know, like-minded, freedom-loving people that are respectful, that are intelligent, that can carry on communication with people on the other side. They're going to be your key in your city. Maintain those communications, maintain your numbers, maintain your voice. Once you lose your voice, once you lose your free speech and your vote, you've lost everything. So don't confront a man. You've got to remember that man is animal. And by man, I mean, you know, human beings. We are animal. You corner an animal and you leave them with no other option, nothing left to lose, and you're going to end up with a civil war when it comes to humans. And Vincent is exactly right. We're not out here to start it. We're out here to try and prevent it. That's why we're talking to people, interviewing people. Yes, we're prepared to defend ourselves. Yes, we're prepared to fight. Yes, we're prepared for weapons and death, possibly. I hope it doesn't come to that. But we all, you know, we all pray and meet together, and we know that it's very, very possible. This thing is not over, and it is. And I say this thing, I mean this push back against this communistic fight to try to take over our freedoms. It's not over. I do believe that it is going to get worse, and we've got to be prepared for it. So stand now. I apologize. I've got to run.
Okay. Yep,
me too.
Thanks,
we got to wrap it up.
Me too. All right.
We got to wrap it up.
Take it easy.
Vince from the Red Elephants, Francis Marion on the scene in New Orleans. Gentlemen, thank you tremendously for taking the time to get in here kind of short notice and tell us exactly what's going on there. For heaven's sakes, both you guys, be safe down there, and we will be looking forward to hearing from you again.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
We
sir.
Go live
Thank
tomorrow.
You, sir. Really.
We yep, go live
absolutely.
Right this
we'll...
thing. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Vincent.
I think Hello? Vince dropped.
Okay.
Hey,
well
we'll be.
We'll be live right here. We're going to make this work. Francis, go. We're going to be live. American Warrior Revolution, American Freedom Keepers. We will also be going live later this evening, a little bit. Not as much, because, again, we'll be working at night, and it's going to be a little more dangerous. And I'll be in town tomorrow. Several of us will be in town, so we'll try and keep people updated. And we just appreciate everything you do. And, Vincent, we appreciate everything you do and working together. And I hope your boys stay safe. And if there's anything we can do while your guys are down here, have them get in touch with me.
Excellent. And if you want to call this number tomorrow at 5:30 your time, 6:30 p.m. Eastern, I go live again for an hour.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and helping to, you know, get the truth out and get the right message out to the people.
That's the whole mission here. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Have a good night.
All right, folks, there you have it. That's live from right there in New Orleans. We had a member from American Warrior Revolution and from the Red Elephant. And you guys want to check out both their pages on Facebook as they go with live streaming video tonight from New Orleans. You'll be able to watch what's going on down there. It's going to be kind of crazy. Guys, please stay safe. James, I want to thank you so much for helping us out with this tonight. And we're going to rock this out tomorrow.
Sounds terrific, Mark. Glad I was around to sit in and help. It was a great time.
And folks, tomorrow night I got from Americans for Legal Immigration PAC, from Alley PAC, William Gein. We're going to talk about their withdrawal from the Trump, their support for Trump based on this last budget and these other things that happened. So tune in tomorrow, 6:30 p.m., www.blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Nation, 6:30 p.m. Eastern, 3:30 p.m. Pacific, 347-637-3942. Thanks again, James.
No problem, Mark. Glad to be here with you.
All right, man. Take care, ladies and gentlemen. Good night, and God bless America. Pray for New Orleans.